Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hi, Susie. What's up this week?
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 220 of the Groom Pod, recorded on August 25th, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. Have you ever wondered how to pick how much to charge for your grooming? If you have, we're going to talk about this later on in the podcast. Also, we're going to get a bird's eye view of Scentsy shampoo line. We're going to also talk about when you pay the vet bill. So this podcast is sponsored by industry sponsors like Best Shot, Show Season, and Evolution Shears. But Barbara, we have a new sponsor coming on board this week. This is really exciting.
I'm excited. Who is it?
It's Barkley HQ, and Barkley HQ is an all-in-one software for running your stationary grooming salon, and it includes all kinds of cool stuff like pet and staff management, social media marketing, inventory, and point of sale, and best of all, they have amazing customer service, and they bought some sponsorship from us. Yay!
Yay! So is this like an appointment system?
It is. It's scheduling and it's online scheduling. It's all in the cloud. It also has point of sale management. So your inventory and all that stuff. And you can manage your employees with it. It's reasonably priced. It really looks like a good complete setup for a shop plus possibly even retail situation. It looks good. I'm still delving into it, but the guy's really nice. And so I thought, why not? It's a little diversity in our advertising.
Welcome, Barkley HQ.
So I also wanted to let you know that I got bit by a cat this week. I said I'd never been bit, but I always forget.
Oh, man.
I have been bit by cats occasionally. Not dogs. I've just never been bit by a dog. But I've been bit by cats. And this was a cat that was normally very docile. And he's huge. He's 26-pound Maine Coon. And the woman who owns him, big and beautiful, smoke. So when I shave him, he's all silver underneath. Oh, he's stunning. Just a very pretty cat and usually has a good personality. He doesn't particularly like to be pushed around too much because he's heavy, but he's not old. So he's not really creaky. He's just fat. Anyway, the lady who owns him just had her 95th birthday.
Woo!
Yeah. But trying to get her to control the feeding on this cat, which is really what should happen so he doesn't end up diabetic because that she's not going to be able to maintain. I've had a few discussions with her, but I can't seem to get her to not leave out too much food. She's afraid she's going to forget to feed the cat completely.
Well,
she's alone.
You know what? The cat is not going to let you forget more than one meal. I live with cats. I know. You know, their outdoor cats come in and eat their meals, but if I blow it off, they become indoor cats, and they'll get closer and closer to the bed or wherever I'm hanging out as the time goes on. Yeah, if I go more than 24 hours, I got one cat that will come and nibble my toes.
That's funny. I didn't think to point that out. That's a good point. Her cat will never let her forget to feed him.
It's not going to hurt them. In the wild, cat forefathers and dog forefathers often went more than a day without a meal, and it really allows the kidneys and liver to kind of flush out and clear out. So it's not a bad thing. That cat will come and sit on her chest. And
she might die. If that cat sits on her chest, she's about this big. She's a tiny woman. That would be bad. No, but I think you're right.
I think I am, too.
I'm going to tell her that. Yeah, so but more importantly, we should probably discuss briefly what to do if you get a cat's canine embedded into your forearm.
Yeah, what did you do?
All right. So he was just in for a dental within, I would say, from looking at his arm, maybe the last week and a half or 2 weeks. Hardly any hair has grown back on his shave spot. And she let me know that he had just had a dental. And it didn't occur to me that they might have roughed him up a little bit during the process because he is
a
big boy.
Might have altered his attitude some.
he was a little crankier than usual. And I picked up on it, but he doesn't really have much of a neck to control with, but he's never been a problem. He's huge. He can't get underneath my table divider, so he stays on the edge of the table, which makes him pretty compliant. But when I moved him to the bathtub, he nailed me in my forearm, which I don't know if I hurt his leg or if they had pulled his leg out and hurt it or whatever, but I caught his back leg a little bit. You know, I had moved his back leg when he got me. That's what I did. So it was a solid single tooth puncture. There was a scratch mm-hmm. from the other side too, but not a puncture at all. So I put the cat back. I just let him sit in the bathtub, which he was compliant to do. He willingly sat in the bathtub with no water in it while I tended to my hand. So I squeezed out every bit of blood I could possibly squeeze out. Then I grabbed my chlorhexidine scrub, which I always carry, and I scrubbed my arm with it really, really, really well. And I squeezed out a little bit and I scrubbed it and I squeezed it. And I probably did more tissue damage by being paranoid about ending up with an infection and squeezing it every 10 minutes to make sure it didn't seal over. So I kept it bleeding and I kept it open and I covered it with a Band-Aid for the rest of it. I only had two more dogs. So I covered it with a Band-Aid. I worked the rest of the day. And then when I got home, I circled the bite area, the swelling on it, because I knew that I needed to watch for redness and infection. So I made the circle. The next morning it had grown basically to the top surface of my arm. So I circled that. And then one more time when it actually went to my whole arm, I circled around the back. There was a little area that wasn't swollen. And luckily, I had been scheduled to groom my physician's dogs the day after I got bit. So I went over there and they gave me some antibiotics. So I started antibiotics probably a day later than I should have, but I started them. But it wasn't looking that infected. There was definitely tissue damage. It hurt. So contusion, a little bruising from me squeezing it, and some tenderness, but it never really got super hot. It never went down past my wrist. My hands never swelled up. So I just watched it very carefully. And she laughed at me because it was the wife of my physician, but she's also a physician, same office. And she goes, well, I've got a dog and she's got some skin problems. She's on some antibiotics, but I don't want to give her too many. And I said, yeah, you can tell I'm obviously a fan of that. But she did it in the long run, write me a prescription. So I'm on a very mild amoxicillin type antibiotic. If the swelling has pretty much gone down, you can still feel scar tissue where the tooth went in. How grateful am I that that cat had just had a dental?
How lucky you are.
Yes.
That cat had just had a dental. I do want to remind you that they make very good gauntlets that allow your fingers to grip and to use tools, but protect the better part of your arms from cat bites. I know you would not have used them with that cat because he had such a history. But however, let's remind everybody that those gauntlets are out there. And if you do any cat grooming at all, I really urge you to please buy yourself a pair of those bite not gauntlets.
Are they on Amazon?
Oh, probably, but they're called bite not.
Okay.
It's the brand. They're a high tech fabric that doesn't allow bites to go through. They're not too restrictive. You can still work with them on. And if I ever have cats, and you know what? I glove up real fast. If I see tail twitching in a certain way, if I sense the cat's getting tense, if they growl, I glove up with the gauntlets. And then I work with an assistant always, usually the owner, and I will have them put on the thick welder's gloves. And I have saved my helpers and I have saved myself with these items. So, you know, they're out there. And like I say, you wouldn't have thought to use it on a cat that, where you have a history like this. And
but I will in the future.
But you will in the future. You know, like, see, because better safe than sorry. Cat bites are just really, they can be career breaking.
And I so think that in the wintertime, I automatically put my coat on when I do a cat. so that I'm covered with at least my raincoat from, because, you know, it rains a little bit here in Seattle, so I tend to wear a raincoat. It's a little protective on my arms. So I didn't have, because it's 80 degrees out, I'm not wearing my coat. Coat would have protected me because he didn't get my hand.
So nice. It's 104 here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah, actually, if you got to get a bite up in the fatty tissue there, in the muscle, that's much better than in the hand where there's no room for the toxins to go except into your hand, and they get trapped in there. And the next thing you know, you're risking amputation. I'm not kidding.
My friend Brandy, well, yeah, our friend Brandy got a cat bite.
Brandy.
She had to have surgeries and it was in the joint. She got bit in the joint. So I'm grateful it wasn't that either. I mean, my hands were never really exposed to his mouth because I'm always trying to control him backside and body, but he was able to get to my fatty part of my arm.
See, and that's another thing about those bite not gauntlets. They cover that base of your thumb, which is such a common place to get bit. And a very dangerous place to get bit. And you still have use of your thumb, but right there in between your thumb and fingers where the cat is most likely to get you, that's probably the most common point at which people get bit, is right in there at the base of the thumb. That's protected by those gauntlets. I swear by them.
I'll add that I had shaved the cat completely already. He growled a little bit, but he wasn't really that fussy. I think they tweaked his knee or something, and I just had moved when I moved his leg. I'll be prepared next time. I won't take a chance with him, and then if he is good, then I'll drop back to normal protocols with him. But I may bring an assistant with me next time I go.
Yeah, that's a thought. So I had a little interesting personal groomer experience this week.
Okay.
I was babysitting or boarding Lucy the Cocker Spaniel for my friend and customer, Michael. So Lucy stayed with me for 2 weeks. And during that week, I scheduled a grooming. Now, Michael is a no-frills hiking kind of a guy. Well, he doesn't really hike. Never been a regular customer, but always been extremely loyal. And he likes me to shave Lucy down, just clip her down. So I have in my mind this little consideration that I don't like to go closer than a 5 blade. But, you know, the last time that I had her and I shaved her down using the clipper back with the 5 blade, I didn't get an overall result that I loved. Then I got to live with her. You know, and I said, God, this is a little bit raggedy of a result. Well, looking at this, I saw, geez, inside this leg doesn't look so great. Ye God, this is kind of rumpled looking, you know. But I knew that Michael wouldn't care, and I let it go. Well, this time she came in, and I decided to do a number 7 reverse. Now, that's way shorter than my comfort zone.
Way shorter than a 5.
Yeah, way shorter than a 5. But you know what? It was easy on her. It was easy on me. I didn't make any mistakes. It was velvet smooth. And then I brought her home and I lived with her. I found myself just petting her and loving the smooth velvety feel of that number 7 reverse. And I said to myself, damn it, this is why people like that super short clip on their dogs, because it feels so good to pet them.
I agree.
I get it. And I just issued an apology to the universe of past customers where I didn't get it. And I said, now I get it. You want it to feel like this. And I appreciate that. So it was a moment. It was an epiphany.
I had one of those, just exactly the same thing. So I was given this teeny tiny chihuahua as a client from our mutual acquaintance, Char. You remember Char, right? Well, she just was having a terrible time. She's groomed this dog for 2 or 3 years and has never bonded with him. He's about 7 pounds. He's a little wiry-haired chihuahua. He's cute. He's adorable. But somewhere along the line, he has been passed around. He was a rescue, probably came from California. We get a lot of dogs up from California, a lot of chihuahuas up here from California to the shelters. So I think that's probably where he came from. But I always remind people, a chihuahua in our world is gigantic to a chihuahua. So for the most part, things are scary, intimidating, and either you're going to be defensive or you're going to hide. So I don't blame chihuahuas for being defensive. This is a younger family, maybe 30s, and they want all the hair cut off the dog every 6 weeks. They want it to feel just like you're talking about. And I went in there with a 5 because usually I don't go shorter than the 3 rocker comb unless I'm requested to. So I went in with the 5 and I thought, I don't like the way the 5 looks. So I went in with a 7 and cleaned it up in reverse, and just they were so happy. And he and I got along splendidly because I understand his tiny little world, and he was very pleased with that. And I put a little duck muzzle on him when I had to do his nails, and he is triggered by his feet, but he's also kind of just a triggery dog. He's just very anxious. So I did him without any medication, and we're going to be long friends. I just know it. He's a good little man. He doesn't mean to react the way he does. He's just a tiny person in a gigantic world. But it was hard for me to go that short. It's hard to do it. That was short.
Yeah. I'm a hair person. It's hard for me to really go off.
Yeah, if I had to live with my grooms, well, yeah. I do with Figgy. It's hard.
Yeah, I know. I know. It can really be brutal. Oh, no, yeah. I'm not really seeing that. Yeah, I brought Belle home the other day, and I've done a quick trim of her, and there's one whole foot I missed.
Oh, that's funny. Only on our own dogs.
Yeah.
Well, at least we hope.
What are we talking about this week? Oh, I wanted to correct you from your introduction.
Oh, yeah.
Of my topic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking just about the shampoos, but I'm going to have a little overview of the Scentsy Pet products.
Okay.
There's 3 of them. The shampoo, a deodorizer spray, and a detangler.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm interested to hear your opinion, and I really like the bird's eye view for Barbara's product reviews. Guys, what do you think? Bird's eye view is Barbara's product review? I think it's good. I like it a lot.
I spell it with a Z.
Yes, it's perfect, Barbara. It's perfect. So I did want to remember I can't remember if I thanked Angela Jones for her donation or Heather Caldwell for buying a shirt, but I thought if I didn't, I'll do it again. If I did it already, well, you get thanked twice. So thanks, you guys.
Never hurts to thank twice.
I agree. Okay, quick break, and then we'll be back with our first subject, which is pricing. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up, and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, dilute it 50-1 for deep cleaning, 15-1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. This makes it perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo too. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light, but so powerful. It has Best Shot special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators, too. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They will help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. We have had 2 different questions on our Facebook group about pricing. So I thought this would be a great time to just kind of chat a little bit about figuring out prices and the differences between the different dogs and how you sort all that stuff out. So here's a question for you. Do you charge the same price for every dog of the same type? Like, say, every Shih Tzu, do you start out with a price that's the same, or does it vary for you?
Well, it's kind of a yes and no answer. It tends to be pretty similar, but I don't. And I don't because I'm small. Just me, just like you are, just one groomer, you know, with however many clients you can have. And I individualize or do what I call custom pricing. So I price according to the job. Given that, my small dog's kind of comfort clips are 60. Breed perfect terrier grooms are in the 65 and up. And then larger, like scissored poodle, my miniature poodles that get custom scissored trims, there's 75 and up and so on and so forth. But I can individualize and I can change prices one at a time if I want to. Because first of all, I don't have to put a menu up on the wall. If you have a huge business and you're doing a lot of dogs that were kind of averages out, you can make a menu that's an average price for breeds or types of or...
Yeah, how would you divide that up? I know the breed is the obvious one, but that gives you like this massively long list. What are other ways that maybe you could divide
it? Yeah, I don't think you can do... And so much of them are going to be the same. People make up what they think their dog's breed is. And I will never forget the cockapoo that thought the dog was a Caribou Terrier. She was sure that this kind of cocker mix dog, mutt, was a Caribou Terrier.
Or my brown Maltese. That's another one.
Yeah, your brown Maltese. So, you know, like, anyway, if you're corporate or if you're doing 30 or more dogs a day, you can afford to have, and I would do it by type.
But like small long-haired dog or small short-haired dog or like that?
Well.
Or haircut?
Yeah, well, you know, like, I just as I said that, I remembered one time when I took in two dachshunds at the end of the day as a walk-in, and I thought easy money,
right?
Baby grooming.
Sure.
And you know what? They were like fish wrestling.
Oh, man. That's a
fish wrestling. Yeah. They were like these slippery little assholes in my arms. You know, I couldn't do anything. They were just horrible. And I, it was so freaky, labor intensive.
And at the end of the day,
it was really backbreaking. It just broke my spirit and my body. Scissored custom grooms are more expensive than just shaved down grooms.
Right, for sure.
Unless, wait a minute, but here's the thing. Unless it's been 6 months since you had a shave down and now you're doing another one, right?
Right, sure.
So I had that situation this week. This was Twinkie. And Twinkie was that dog that came in where the owner gave me a full yellow pad page full of instructions.
I remember.
Remember Twinkie?
Yep.
Okay, so Twinkie came back. And Twinkie came back mad to the bone. Was a no choice. And, you know, like, and she wasn't upset because she likes it short anyway. But I did a wet clip on her because this is a woman that likes it to look rumpled. So a smoothie would have been a deal breaker for her. That's what she didn't want. But a wet clip with a, I think I just used a 7-blade. And then I went back over it after it was dried and everything. I went over it with a 5 and it just looked kind of informal.
Yeah.
She loved it. She loved it even more than the first time when I really tried to follow her instructions. But the deal with the pricing was Twinkie takes Yvonne and I together for most of her groom.
Ah.
She needs an extra person there to hold her. She's one of those dogs that would melt down if I did a severe restraint. Do you know what I'm saying, Susie?
Absolutely.
I know you have a restraint system that you totally believe in, but every now and then you run into a dog that melts down under restraint instead of succumbing.
While I do fully believe in the restraint system, it's an individual thing, and there are dogs that I do just holding in my arms instead of in the restraint system, because it's better with a muzzle and the dog in my arms than it is in a restraint. So you have to be flexible, but yeah, 90% I believe in that.
I understand. Yeah. I have just come up with a new price. Small dog takes two, right?
Right.
Small dog takes two, $75. How's that?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think that's a reasonable way to go. So, the best thing to keep in mind is to be flexible with your pricing, but people are going to come in the shop and they're going to say, how much for this or how much for that? So what I do, which is, okay, here comes the boring part of the show. Barbara, go ahead and entertain yourself for a moment. It is really helpful to know how much it costs you to groom a dog when you're setting your prices, which, you know, Barbara doesn't necessarily work that way. But for me, I prefer to know what it costs me to do and what my profit margin is and what I have to work with. You also need to know what
Such
it costs.
Such a business
you.
Person.
I am. I can't help it. I was born with it. I was born old in that respect. So the other thing is you want to know how much it costs. These are just basic business principles, how much it's going to cost to support yourself. And you got to add that on. So once you come up with that number, you'll know what a basic living wages for you, and then divide it out into how many hours you work, blah, blah, blah. There's lots of formulas out there for how to do that, right?
But charge my happy price.
Yes, Barbara charges her happy price. Yes, that's one way to do it. And I'm not saying my way is the right way or the wrong way, but it's my way. So that's how I do
it. Well, I'm going to say, look at, you're the one that has partial ownership in a new luxury boat. I'm the one that doesn't have a refrigerator or a kitchen sink.
Okay, so, good point.
So maybe it is really good business to do it Susie's way. I just do it my way because
Barbara's a free spirit, a creative free spirit. That's just who she is. I'm a business person who ended up a groomer who has some talent in handling dogs and a really good business sense. And I tell a mean story and that helps me. So
what a nice combination.
Right. That's true. I'm kind of a little bit of everything. So anyway, but the way I do it, because I get phone calls every day, how much is my dog? How much is my dog? The easiest way for me to do it is I say prices start at $85, and $85 will get you an hour and a half of my time with your dog. Then on top of that, it's like $65 an hour in 15-minute increment. But I don't ever tell them that. I just let them know there will be an additional charge. But if I make $85 for that hour and a half, I know my bills are paid. And that's the important part here, is to make sure that nut is covered. Anything beyond that is time-related and your own personal effort-related and not necessarily product and cost-related. So you have a lot of flexibility in that. But make sure you're getting the bills paid first. So I put out there, it's on my message so that I don't have to have the conversation that my prices start at now they start at $90 because September 1st, my prices go up. So my price starts at $90 and up. That's $90 if you have a biting chihuahua or if you have a lovely chihuahua. It's $90. So I eliminate a lot of conversation that way. But that's my solution to the problem. I do it hourly. And there was another question about menus for doodles. And I don't think you can have a doodle menu because they're so individual and their hair varies so very much. It just seems logical to me to do the charge it by the hour. You got to give them a price to start with, but by golly, don't give them an upper end price. Give them the starting at price.
The coats are all different. Some coats are much more easy to maintain and require less action by their owners than others. I think it's time to kind of let go of the doodle grievances.
They're here to stay.
They're here to stay. They're money makers. The way to groom them is to set a price that's fair for you and encourage people to come in more frequently. Like twice a year, doodle grooming is miserable for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's happy, and the dog looks like, you know, they really look funny underneath all that. And people don't like that because the main look of a doodle is shaggy. You know, that's what drew them to the breed. I think it's just important to stop belly aching about doodles and just get what you need to get. And it should be, my doodle prices are kind of like my standard poodle prices. although my standard poodles can go higher because of the time it takes if you're doing scissoring. I no longer want to do standard poodles because of that, because I end up giving away too much of my time with those standard poodles. But with my doodles, I can pretty much do really nice grooms with my clipper vac, my eye vac, and snap-on combs. And then I can get $85 and up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And as soon as things start to come back a little tangled, then I modify that haircut for the owners a little bit at a time until I get to a place where I'm dealing with a reasonable length coat that is not tangled and I can maintain at in my case, anywhere from under 8 weeks. So 8 weeks and under for my doodles. And mostly I just take them off with that little orange or the yellow comb and then they grow out for 8 weeks and people get them shaggy. And when they're with that length, that orange wall comb length, the crinkling factor is not such a big deal because there's only a little bit of hair left anyway, but there's hair left. So immediately a day later, they look a little ratty again and people are happy with it. But I don't want to dread going there. And I certainly don't want to price myself out of business. So you're right. You've got to look at that. It's important to make the price your happy price. Not Barbara's happy price, but your happy price.
Your happy price. And I would define my happy price as that price that makes me happy to see the dog in the book.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got a dog that you're grooming, that when you see it coming up in the book, you cringe and you don't want to go to work, you're not getting your happy price. That's all I can say. Is you can't do that. You know where I'm losing money and time a little bit is on my hand stripping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to hit those people for that hand stripping. You know, like I had a Norwich Terrier this week and he had reached that point where he needed to have the total takedown. And it took us two visits. The first visit was 125 and the second visit was 75. And even then, that was two people's time really being priced out as one person's time. And I do have a commitment to hand stripping. And Yvonne likes to do it, which makes a huge difference. If it was all on me to do it, but my assistant can do almost all of the work and I just do the head work and the detailing, you know, and she says, how far down should I come? And I put my comb through and, you know, magic marker right here. And she comes down to that line. You know, we work together really well. And I have a commitment to that. That is a traditional form of grooming that I don't want to see die out. And so I take a little bit of a bite, but I am lately kind of pumping up the price a little bit. You know, like I asked for $125. A year and a half ago, I would have just asked for the $100 the first visit.
Yes.
You know, and now my minimum hand stripping visit, even on a regular schedule, is $100.
I think that's reasonable, though, because it is a skill.
It is a skill, and it is a time-consuming, and it does hurt your hands.
Boy, does it ever. I can't even do it. I can't even try. Yeah, it's just very painful.
I know you can't. Your hands are really bad.
Yes, they are. But on a happier note, let's hear from Evolution Shears because they are helping my hands feel better every day when I scissor.
Yeah. All right. Let's swivel on over there.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they're all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution Shears works with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They're made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. They use high-quality materials but are very affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, and she will take great care of you. But wait! If you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put it in the coupon spot in the Evolution website and you'll receive $10 off your order. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
There's been a lot of talk online about this new product line from Sensei, which I think is like a candle company or something. Is it candles or fragrances or something? Our new segment, Bird's Eye View.
Sensei is a really interesting company. It's a multi-level marketing company, and they started out with just candles. And then they went into other forms of wax with warmers and to provide scent. So they're basically into fragrancing your home with artificial fragrances. In order to make it work, they have got a huge array of products. And they have about six fragrance families. So you can kind of get to know what you like and what you don't like, and you can shop within your, you know. But they have just now gone into the pet stuff. Not surprising, because any company that wants to provide more choices, more options, more shopping from within their company is going to step inside. Once you're inside the home, who's in there? The dog.
Right. Right. And who smells more strongly than the dog?
So this is very interesting. So what's happening is that these Sensei distributors, being smart women, most of them, they are reaching out to groomers and offering samples and offering their pet products to groomers. To, of course, what they really want you to do is to become a seller in their line.
Right,
you
know,
because it's multi-level marketing. And I'm just going to have to admit my bias against multi-level marketing, okay? I don't like it. Usually people end up buying more than they sell. It's really hard to make a profit unless you're in on the beginning of the multi-level, right?
Right.
Right, you know, so... The earlier you buy in, you know, the more people underneath you to feed you a little bit of their profit. So you can make a whole lot more. But as the company grows, it's harder and harder to really make a living off of these products. Nonetheless, people are interested in getting our take on their products. So I took a look. I haven't tried any of these things.
Okay.
I have not had the opportunity.
I was just going to say, where do you get them? And then I realized you just spent 10 minutes telling me where you get them. It's a multi-level marketing.
When you go online and look up Sensei pet products, they're calling them Best Buds. That's a great name.
That is a
Best Bud. Best Bud shampoo. That usually what you're finding online is one single representative.
Okay.
One single distributor person, yeah.
And, back in the old days, we'd call them a housewife, but they're probably not a housewife anymore.
Not anymore. Nope. So here's the deal with the Sensei pet products. They've got three products. Shampoo, deodorant spray, and a detangler. And they've got three fragrances. They've got an aloe and oatmeal. They've got an orange zest in something. And they have a third one, which I don't have written down. But there's three distinctly different fragrances and three different products. Now, I had a funny thing happen.
Yeah?
I went to look at the Best Buds Oatmeal and Aloe Shampoo. The first Scentsy website that I went to brought up the aloe and oatmeal pet shampoo. And I looked at the ingredient list and I thought, well, this ain't much. This kind of minimal. This is kind of ordinary. This doesn't look like much. Then the next time that I went in to look around, I went to another website and I looked up let me look at this orange zest because I kind of like citrus.
And me too.
The shampoo ingredients had like doubled. They were like doubled the length of ingredient list of what I had seen when I looked at the oatmeal and aloe, right? And so I made a comment on the shampoos in the grooming industry group. I said, well, it looks like they reformulated their pet shampoo and got serious about marketing to pet owners.
Yeah.
And then somebody came back and they said, no, these people, they didn't reformulate. They've only had the one pet shampoo. So I thought, what's going on? And I went in and I looked around, and Susie, what seems to have happened is that the ingredients for the oatmeal and aloe deodorant spray,
yes,
somehow got utilized as the ingredients to the aloe and oatmeal shampoo.
Oops.
So every place I look, the oatmeal and aloe shampoo has these ingredients that I later recognized were the same ingredients as the three pet sprays.
Well, that's so fishy.
It's not intentional.
Okay.
That's the kind of thing that can happen when you have distributors that don't really know the difference between a shampoo list and a pet spray list. If you look closely, a person such as myself would notice that in this pet spray list, there's no thickener in there. There's no foaming agent in there. There's nothing that makes a shampoo what we recognize as a shampoo. In the pet spray, the first and only surfactant is Loreth 4. Well, Loreth 4 is a super mild, barely detergent cleanser, right? That's why I thought, well, this is pretty lightweight. But when you look at it as the ingredients in the pet spray, you say, oh yeah, okay, so this is a wetting agent. It's going to help everything spray onto the hair. And then the second ingredient is polysorbate 20. That's a solubilizer that helps to dissolve fragrance oils into a water-based product, which is your spray. And then it's got zinc ricinoleate, which is a very common deodorizing agent, and glycerin, a humectant, and then some other stuff, right? And so that list looks like a spray. That's probably got to be the spray. And somehow that list of spray ingredients has been transposed to other people online as, unfortunately, the ingredients for the shampoo. Somebody needs to clean that up. But probably I'm the first person that even cared.
Right.
Right?
This is fairly new stuff, right? It just came out.
This is really very new stuff. This is very new stuff.
So it's hard to give an impression when you don't actually have the real ingredients.
I don't think that I'm making a mistake to assume that the ingredient list for the other two shampoos is going to apply to the oatmeal and aloe shampoo.
Yeah,
because
I don't think that's safe.
If all the three sprays are the same and all the other two shampoos are the same and all the three detanglers are the same except for the fragrance, then I think you can assume that the shampoos are the same except for the fragrance, right?
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much.
Now, I'm going to be a little critical here and say they market heavily on their aloe and oatmeal. Why? Why would that be, Susie?
Because of the marketing effect that those two items have.
Because of the consumer recognition.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So to describe the pet shampoo, they say this sulfate-free moisturizing shampoo includes aloe, sunflower oil, and colloidal oatmeal to gently cleanse and condition your pets while hydrating dry, itchy skin, infused with a touch of scentsy fragrance to leave your furry friend smelling fresh. A
lot of buzzwords in there.
So in every product description, they emphasize the colloidal oatmeal, the aloe, and the sunflower oil. And what I've found is that with the possible exception of the sunflower seed oil esters, actually the products don't have the actual sunflower oil. They have the esters or the kind of like synthesized essence of. The aloe and the oatmeal are fairy dust ingredients in these products. Yeah, they are way at the bottom of the list. They are just like not functional active ingredients, although they have contemporary, more modern skin soothers and moisturizers, humectants and stuff, right?
Right.
Am I coming across?
Yep.
So, for example, the shampoo in the middle of the list, it contains an ingredient called polyglycerol 3 caprate. Well, hey, I like that because it's new to me. I always love it when I'm reading a list of ingredients of a new product and it's got an ingredient that's new to me.
Did you look at
polyglycerin? Yeah, I did. So this is what it is. It's a PEG-free. So here's a chemical company that's marketing no pegs. It's a PEG-free refatting agent with excellent thickening properties for shampoos, liquid soaps, and bath oils. It provides a smoothing effect on the skin. So this ingredient supports the moisturizing claim. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand that you're saying that that is the actual active ingredient rather than the oatmeal and sunflower oil.
Right. And even more so, the one, two, three, fourth ingredient after water is glycerin.
Oh, well.
That's an obvious humectant and moisturizing agent. And actually, those two ingredients are probably doing the moisturizing. But the consumer is going to recognize the aloe and the oatmeal as a good thing. They're not going to recognize glycerin. They may recognize glycerin if they've made soaps themselves. But they're not, certainly not going to recognize polyglycerol 3 caprate of, oh, that makes my hands feel really good when I shampoo my dog. Makes the dog's skin feel really good too. That's kind of a critical thing that I have about these three shampoos. They look like they'll be okay shampoos. I do have a concern that some of it has dipropylene glycol in it. Dipropylene glycol is a fragrance extender, It's used widely in perfumery and in fragrance science. What I know about dipropylene glycol is that it's a fragrance extender. And it's a fragrance diluent. So it's used to dilute fragrance to make it be like a little bit lighter. And it's also used to prolong the evaporation of the fragrance components. It's a fragrance extender. My reed diffuser solution that I buy from the chemistry store is dipropylene glycol. It makes the fragrance last longer. So no kidding. I'm sure that Scentsy has used this historically, most likely, right? But I don't know if you really want dipropylene glycol in a product that is safe for cats. Just saying. They're marketed as safe for cats. I am a little bit less sold on that. Otherwise, as far as dogs are concerned, this looks like it would be an interesting shampoo. I don't see anything to be really turned off about. And it's the main cleansing agent is sodium cocalisothionate. That's the same surfactant that iGroom uses as their basic main thing. The difference here is that these shampoos also contain cocaminopropyl betaine. The preservative system is a little unusual because it's phenoxyethanol with sodium benzoate. And then there's also disodium ETA, ETETA, and ethyl hexylglycerin. Those are also parts of a preservative system.
Right.
So when you get into preservative systems, you have more ingredients. And what this company has done is that they have used a couple of different systems that should be listed as something and something and something. And they've broken up those ingredients and just included them in different places in the list.
Oh.
I ran into another new to me ingredient in the shampoo that got all excited about it. It's called Sorbith 230 Tetraoleate.
Okay.
Never heard of it. So I looked it up and it turns out that Sorbith 230 Tetraoleate is the key ingredient in a thickening system for sulfate-free products, right? One of the things that happens when you give up your sulfates, when you as a formulator are asked to formulate without sulfates, is thickening becomes a challenge. So cosmetic chemists have worked hard and long to come up with a way to meet that challenge. With sulfates, it's very easy to use salt as a thickener, and then some of your kosher fat is a boost thickening, like cocamine, propyl betaine. It acts as a cleanser, a thickener. So it has kind of dual, actually, it serves a lot of purposes in a single thing. But when you give up the sulfate, then you have to come up with other ways of thickening. And this is a way that is along with sorbitol 2230 tetrioleate and decyl glucoside and sodium laurate. And those three ingredients make up this thickening system. They probably should be listed together with the and to, so that you would know that it was a premix. This company doesn't do that. In fact, the decyl glucoside, which is the less in volume of the thickener, mm-hmm. it appears right up underneath the cocamine propyl betaine as though it's part of the surfactant system. Well, I don't think it is. I could be wrong. I think the decyl glucoside is part of this thickening system. Well, this is all bullshit. Who cares?
Yeah.
So I go through 15 minutes of this heavy duty deep dive and then just invalidate myself.
Yeah, you silly one.
Sorry. I know. Every now and then I catch myself being too technical. I just caught myself. Okay, so that's the shampoo.
Okay.
The what you need to know on the deodorizing pet spray is that it's okay, and that the major deodorizing agent is this zinc ricinoleate. There's better new stuff out as far as deodorizing agent. And there's that Best Shot where they use the cyclo, whatchamacallit. That's the main thing. And it's also a glycerin is providing the moisturizing. And then at the very end, you have the aloe and the colloidal oatmeal.
For marketing purposes. Yes.
For marketing purposes in fairy dust quantities. The detangling spray is probably the one that I'm least impressed with. It's got water, propylene glycol, which is a humectant, polysorbate 20. They always, when you have fragrance or essential oils, polysorbate 20 does a great job of breaking that down and dissolving that in your water-based product. It has a polysiloxane, a silicone, kind of an advanced silicone, trimethyl siloxy amodimethicone, which is misspelled by them. Just a little bee bird pet peeve. And now listen to this. This is technical, but follow me. It's got some of these weird ingredients down towards the lower third of the detangling spray. 1,2-hexanediol, C1216-pereth-9, C1115-pereth-7.
Huh.
All three of those ingredients could be defined as a lightweight synthetic mixture of fatty alcohols and polyethylene glycols that functions as an emulsifier. Why do they have all three of those those chemicals in there? Well, I don't want to say chemicals like it's a bad name. Why those three synthetics? Why would they need all three of those? Why? I would like to ask them. Why, people? Why, Sensi, do you have all of that? I'm sure that one would be sufficient. I don't see any literature that pairs them up to coexist, to enhance each other or anything, you know? And in the Paula Begon Cosmetic Ingredients Dictionary, all three of those are defined the same. A lightweight synthetic mixture of fatty alcohols and polyethylene glycols that functions as an emulsifier and surfactant. Give me a break. I will say that they put the term dog detangling spray, so they're not really marketing this for cats, and that's a good thing.
I agree with that.
Let me sum up.
Wrap it up.
The Scentsy Pet products, they look okay, but unremarkable.
Okay.
They have some unique ingredients, and they have some perfume domain ingredients that I'm not sure are necessary.
Okay, well, we're at 44 minutes. and I didn't start the stopwatch on time.
Oh, Jesus, and we still haven't talked about the...
Paying the vet bill.
When to pay the vet bill.
So we'll be doing that next week. You guys.
Oh, God, the segment that never happens.
Do that one next week, because I don't want to have to edit an hour and a half show. I don't have enough hours.
I don't blame you. You're getting smart. You're wising up.
So we're going to cut this one off. We'll definitely cover the vet bill next time, because it's a good subject and I want to talk about it.
Yeah, people that are isolated and alone, they need to hear what we have to say about that subject. That's a crisis moment in any groomer's experience, is that time when the customer comes in and wants you to pay the vet bill.
So I have a shout out this week.
And oh, yeah?
Yeah, the shout-out is going to our listeners who have left reviews for us. I accidentally stumbled across a whole bunch of GroomPod reviews on Podcast Addict, which is a new podcast player that I'm using because my old player, the last update, got a glitch, and now it won't download anything correctly, and I got frustrated and threw it away after, like, 8 years of using Beyond Pod. I tossed Beyond Pod and I started with Podcast Addict, and I was looking, you know, subscribing to our podcast, and I pulled it up and there were like 20 reviews and they're all 5 stars except one that says we're old and outdated.
That's like that one customer that caught us early on saying that it was just me talking about getting old.
It might have even been that same person writing that review. For all I know, it was a very old review. But I wanted to thank you guys for being so kind and generous with your words all the time with us. This is why we do it. We love sharing our knowledge. I just love talking and hearing myself talk. We all know that. But Barbara actually does a lot of work and puts in a lot of studying about this chemistry stuff and occasionally dives really deep into the deep end of the pool like we did this week. If you've made it this far, we are grateful.
Who else is going to call me outdated and I'm talking to you about C1115 Paragraph 7?
Thank you.
Come on.
That's what I have to say. Amen to that. All right, guys.
Amen to that.
So we'll be back next week.
Who loves you?
Who loves you? The Groom Pod loves you. All right. Happy grooming, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourself and don't get bit by a cat.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.